Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a great Monday. Hope everybody's being safe. I know South Carolina and that whole area got a pretty nice hurricane that came in over the weekend, so our prayers are with you guys. The winds look like it has died down a lot. It's turned more to a tropical depression from what I read this morning. However, there's still some immense flooding out by the coastal areas, and so hopefully that starts to drain from all this rain that's still being pushed further inland right now. And so we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully it'll start cleaning back out there some. I did see quite a few flooded houses. But one thing that really kind of stunned me, when I saw a video earlier today, there was actually quite shocking of dozens of people ransacking a Family Dollar store in Wilmington, North Carolina, over the weekend. It happened in broad daylight, and many of the looters didn't even seem to care that a television news crew was literally filming them across the street.
That's right.
This seems to be something that, sadly enough, is starting to occur on a regular basis now. You know, we know that whole area, about 750,000 people don't have power. There's a lot of flooding. However, this is in Wilmington, North Carolina, and according to the one news report, they said many of the looters were literally carrying things right back to their public housing right across the street, taking multiple trips, I might add, literally walking in, taking as many armfuls of stuff as they could from the Dollar General, walking over to their house in public housing, state-funded, federal-funded housing, and then making a trip to go back again. They said it wasn't just one or two people, but dozens of people in broad daylight, and they said the storm had just arrived, so none of these people were hurting for food or water. They were just immensely greedy, and they decided to loot the store because it's what they wanted to do. Not even anybody was seen taking any significant amount of food or water, mainly just other belongings and other valuables like clothes and other thing else out of there. And it's sad that we've reached a point now in society to where this is becoming a new normal. You guys see this in almost every time down here in Florida. Well, it's actually rare down here in Florida. We don't too much as we used to. Most people decide not to loot after they start seeing what we start to present when the storm starts to come. We'll leave it at that. But we've seen this in numerous places. And so it's sad to me that this is such a regular occurrence now, that it's so normal that these individuals don't even care. They're literally being filmed by a news crew as they rob the Dollar General and take the stuff right back to their housing, Dad. What's that really starting to say about society as a whole now in the United States?
No, the looters are getting smarter. They know that the Dollar General or whoever was getting robbed has insurance that's going to cover every bit of it. The cops are busy trying to, you know, deal with the flooding and power outages and accidents and people stranded and, you know, people basically hunkered down, and they don't want to deal with looters. And so these guys are getting smarter. I'm surprised they didn't back their pickup trucks up to the doggone building and actually start unloading it that way. But you're right. I've watched the same video, and it's just dozens and dozens of people just pretty much emptied the store. And there's probably several million dollars worth of merchandise in there that the insurance company will have to pay. And that'll be the end of it. And they look at it this way. You see, it's not politically correct if a person, I guess, is broken living in public housing to arrest them for looting a store, because it's their right to loot the people's stores across the street. We saw the same thing happen in Ferguson years ago up in St. Louis.
Yep.
They would actually go in, and this was black-on-black crime, and it was crazy what happened in Ferguson. They were actually looting the stores of the people in their own neighborhood who were black owners and then burning the stores. I mean, you got a black owner of a store gets looted, his store gets burned, and you think you're doing something good for society because you're black. It doesn't make any sense. And the same thing goes true with white. You know, whites do the same thing. Hispanics do the same thing. Everybody does that. I mean, when people get to a certain mindset where everybody owes them something, that's what they do. And it has no difference what color you are. It's just that it's just ridiculous when you see it over and over and over again. You know, this past weekend, I had a friend of mine. His name is John, and he went to a conference. And he actually drove to the conference, and he basically heard some speakers, and several of the people were secular. And he said he left the conference with a lot of unanswered questions. And this is my response to him, and I want you guys to take note of this, because you're going to probably want to write this down. This is a pretty good synopsis of what I saw. And most of you are going to agree with this, because you've been listening to the show now for years. I said to him, I said, John, when you take the Zionists equal the Rothschilds out of the equation, this problem cannot be solved. The problem is the Zionist-controlled media have forced Christianity to accept the Judeo-Christian version of Christianity. Judeo-Christianity is an oxymoron. This is due to the Talmud, which was written 600 AD. The Talmud says that our Jesus, that our Lord, our Messiah, was a demon-possessed sorcerer. these teachings are incompatible with New Testament teaching. The Talmud and the New Testament are mutually exclusive. If a group tries to be politically correct and inclusive of satanic theology, it simply has to ignore the Israel, Rothschild, Mossad, CFR, Scofield Bible, Federal Reserve interconnection. I won't do that. Hence, a lot of questions aren't answered. It's basically a form of inclusion doctrine, which is not what Jesus taught. Our Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Now, the reason I wrote all that is because I wanted him to understand clearly what I meant by what I was about to say, and that's why I went into detail like that. The Babylonian Talmud was written in 600 AD approximately, along with the 36 books of the Talmud. This was not the same doctrine that the Jews were used to, had been given through the Pentateuch, or the Torah, or the five books of Levitical law. It's completely different. And we have to understand that the Old Testament Judeo-Christianity, quote-unquote, in the first century, where the Jews were converting to Christians, when they were Christians, had to convert to Judaism before they became Christians, happened for like the first 15 years. That's not being taught anymore as far as that type of Judaic teaching. It's now all about rabbinical teaching and the elders and the traditions that have been passed down for generations by their elders that were all put into writing in the 6th century in the Talmud. That's why Jesus said in the New Testament, I believe it's in the book of Matthew, that you have nullified the word of God for the sake of your traditions. And that's what he was talking about, all of these oral traditions that have been handed down that were finally put onto paper in the 6th century. True Judaism has a temple in which they sacrifice animals, which they no longer consider necessary because they don't practice that form of Judaism any longer. And so that's why I always tell my Christian friends, you know, if we had a Judaic Christian teaching coming from the Old Testament, from the Torah, talking about the Old Testament seeking for the Messiah and Jesus coming as the Messiah, then you could put those two together. But in the current way that Judaism is being preached through the rabbinical teachings, through the Talmud, there's no such thing as Judeo-Christian thought, in my opinion. Now, we have Christianity and we have Judaism, but those two are mutually exclusive simply because one completely contradicts the other one. One has already found their Messiah, that would be the Christians, and one is still looking for their Messiah. In fact, this Tower of Baal, this Babel, the Baal Arch is passing around again. It's about to be erected again in the United States, in D.C. this time. And now they're saying that, you know, this is basically blasphemy. This is what the Jews are saying in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Well, I got a news flash. You know, the Messiah's already been here. It was 2,000 years ago. And it's just, that's the difference between Christianity and Christianity. They really are, I mean, between Judaism, current form of Judaism, and Christianity, they really, truly are mutually exclusive. And that's why we shouldn't be teaching Talmudic teaching in the churches. It simply isn't any good. By the way, Supreme Court Brett Kavanaugh is now being accused of sexual assault while he was in high school 35 years ago. Democrats are trying to stop his confirmation. Some girl said that he had her on the bed and basically, I guess he tried to mess with her. And what's funny about all of this is that same girl, her mother's house was basically taken away from her it was basically seized via, through a foreclosure by Kavanaugh's parents when they were a judge. So that's so you have to realize, you know, this is something that's happening that's basically going to be politically motivated. We saw the same thing with Judge Moore when all of a sudden a girl comes out of nowhere and says that he was 32 and she was 14, that he basically asked her out, and she apparently went on a date with him, according to this girl, and ended up not becoming the senator for the state of Alabama and was thrown under the bus by Donald Trump, who refused to campaign and endorse Roy Moore, which was unbelievably stupid. Now they got an unbelievably liberal Democrat down in Alabama. So all of these things, same old, same old. And somebody said to me, Ted Brewer, basically, if some girl came out, said, you know, 50 years ago, you know, 45 years ago, Ted Brewer went out with a girl in high school and he kissed her and she didn't want to be kissed. I'd probably go, yeah, that's probably true. I may have done that. I don't really remember all that, but that may have happened. But if she said, no, I don't want to be kissed after I attempted to kiss her, I would have immediately taken her home and said, okay, we're good, got to go. And but that's the thing that people don't understand, is that when you start saying stuff about people that were 30, that was 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, you know, how do you defend that, Austin? I mean, you don't have any witnesses that can remember what happened 40 or 50 years ago, especially if you were the only person with somebody on a date. So the whole thing becomes just another giant, you know, goose chase is all it is with Kavanaugh now, with these guys trying to stop the nomination. The sad part about all of this is, this is what they're resorting to now in order to derail nominations and people for the Senate. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It was even more ridiculous is that Trump did not come in with Roy Moore and defend him, especially with Trump's absolutely horrific, how should I say this, reputation as a womanizer. You know, going all the way back to whatever, it's when he was a young guy, I guess, in the academy. But guys, it's one of those things that, you know, we can't allow these clowns to continue to do this, because they're going to do more and more and more of this as the midterm elections approach. Austin, what are you thinking? What's your insight on this?
It is. It becomes quite just ludicrous with a lot of the stuff when you start having, you know, he said this and she said that, and, you know, his word against her word and her word against his word 30, 40, 50 years ago, like you said. I don't know if this is just bread and circus on the leftist side. I don't know if this is actually them legitimately trying to derail this. I know Kavanaugh's been involved in a whole lot of stuff that we've talked about on a few other shows that has been quite shady, just to put it the least. So, there's no question about it. There's definitely some weird stuff going on, but it does seem as if this is what the leftists do on a regular basis now, to try to essentially, like you said, stop anything that they can't control or they don't agree with, and they really just pitch a fit. And I mean, it's almost, it would be kind of funny if it wasn't so serious, because this isn't something that, you know, they are doing almost as a, you know, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to kind of make a joke out of it. These guys are hardcore. I mean, they really, 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 really believe this stuff. I mean, I saw an article earlier how Maxine Waters, when she was at the saw the article earlier. She's in Washington, D.C. at a diversity event, and she came out and blatantly said, she goes, there are those who want to get rid of the president, but we've got the vice president, and he'll be worse. I say we knock off the first one to start off, and then we go after the second one. That's what you said verbatim. Now, if anybody's ever seen gangster films or any other thing, you know the term knock off pretty much means to kill somebody. I mean, that's a pretty much standard terminology. You're going to have somebody knocked off. And so she spouts off this absolute just violent rhetoric repeatedly over and over and over again, even calls, you remember a couple months ago, for violent leftist protesters to meet Republicans and congressmen and show up at restaurants and basically demand they do this and they demand they do that and belittle them and yell at them and scream at them and accost them. And this is what we've really turned into now as a country, as sad as it is, because the left have lost so much of their grip of the control that they really thought they had. And, you know, I've said this so many times, but we've really reached a point where, I mean, this is almost unprecedented, where we have Democratic congressmen and congresswomen, and the same of, obviously, idiot Maxine Waters. I don't even know how she's still there, calling for violent acts against the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, other congressmen and women on the right side, and nobody really even bats an eye at it. You guys remember the beginning of this month, Republican Congress candidate Rudy Peters was confronted by a knife-wielding leftist basically screaming, F Donald Trump, in an incident that never even got covered on CNN or any other mainstream news source whatsoever. Nothing. Didn't get even brought up. Not once. Nothing. And so this is what they're promoting on the left side, and then all they want to do is say, oh, it's freedom of speech, you can't say anything about that, it's okay for them to say this, you can't go against their First Amendment right. But then if we say something like, well, Donald Trump's our president and we need to make America great again, you're a racist, you can't say that, you need to be censored, you can't make comments like that, what the heck? I mean, what, have we really reached a point this low in this country now that we're doing full-blown censorship of anybody that says the truth, yet we let people like Maxine Waters make assassination calls indirectly towards the President of the United States and violent calls towards other people in the Republican Party? That's okay. It's just okay now. That's normal behavior. Yeah, just like I talked about at the beginning of the show. We have people that are looting stores while a news team is filming them, and they're so entitled. They've literally been brainwashed into this entitlement society now, that they're full-blown socialist mentality. They really believe that everybody owes them something. And if they don't get it, they're going to pitch a fit and scream and cuss and steal and loot and rob and destroy anything they have to get what they want, because they demand it because they truly believe they deserve it, Dad. And that's a really scary place to see a country falling that far from grace to the point where we used to be.
Well, we used to have like a rule of law. We used to have people that were actually wanting to do what was right because of God, because we knew that we had a Heavenly Father that was looking over us, and that we didn't want to get caught by Him, even if no one else saw us. I remember my mom used to always say that. My grandfather used to always say, said, even if we don't catch you, God knows what you're doing, and God's going to see it. And so the problem is when you basically relegate God to the useless category, which is what the liberals and the communists and the socialists have done as far as Yahweh, then what ends up happening is people no longer look to God for guidance. No longer don't look to Yahweh for that. They only look to their God of this world, or their God of materialism, or their TV set. You know, we were talking earlier in the office, you know, with some people, you know, a six pack and a TV, that's all they want out of life. And they don't care if they had to steal the TV and steal the six pack. As long as they sit around and get drunk and watch TV. I talked this weekend. I had a friend. I've been getting a lot of this lately because, you know, my oldest daughter went to a place in Montana. She had some issues, and we had her out there for about 3 years, and she finally graduated high school, straight A's, and now she's in her first semester of college making straight A's, doing absolutely wonderful. So I've had a lot of people call me up and say, hey, can we talk to you about where you sent your daughter? My response is, sure, I'll be happy to do that. But it's very hard for people to pull the trigger for that. Very, very difficult, because it's a very personal decision that both the husband and the wife have to do, because it's basically, you get to the point where you go, I don't know what to do. I'm neither spiritually or parentally or physically or mentally or any way equipped to deal with this teenager at this point because of the behavioral patterns, and you have to make a choice. So at that point, you have to realize that you believe that God's going to do good for her, that we're going to do all things through Christ who can strengthen us, that we're going to believe that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and that girl's going to come out of the other end, or that boy's going to come out of the other end extremely good and perfect. Now, you know, I'm a big proponent of composite confessions. You guys know that. I confess scripture every single day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I commit my plans unto the Lord. They will succeed. And I do this in my prayer time every morning. And I get to pray for you guys every morning. So it's a real blessing to me. But I do this, and I have been doing this now for, oh gosh, Austin, close to 40 years since I got saved. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's a difficult decision for parents, because you want to feel as though you're not the one who succeeded with that child, because if somebody else takes it over and they do better than you could have done, then that's a problem. That's not a problem, guys. It doesn't matter. All of us have different equipments. And remember, when a child turns 13, 14, 15 years old, at that point in time, they're making their own decisions. I mean, they could fly an airplane if they wanted to. And that's how I look at kids when they're about 12, 13 years old. If you train them to fly, which they can at that age, they get a pilot's license, and they're soloing. And they're up 5,000 feet in the air in a little Piper, and they're flying around, and you got them on the radio in the control tower talking to them. They can listen to you, or they don't have to listen to you. They can decide to land if they want, or they can just go fly somewhere else. There's nothing. They can turn their radio off, and they can fly wherever they want to fly to, and there ain't nothing you're going to do to stop them, you know, short of shooting down their airplane. So this is what we have to understand when you're dealing with teenagers. And then on Saturday, I had another lady came over. She got saved a few years ago, and she's not been married. She has two children. She's a realtor. My wife and I are friends with her, and she basically came over because she didn't know what to do, because she's got a 15-year-old son who basically is in the heavy drug use. And I'm talking everything but heroin. And the kids stay stoned all the time, and so I talked to him. I talked to him for about an hour, 2 hours. And I told him, I said, if you want to go out to Montana, I'll try to facilitate that for you. I said, but you got to want to go. This is a place where they don't take you if you don't want to go. And because if you don't want to help, they're not going to bother with you, because there's so many kids who want to go out there, who want to be there, who want to get help. And the kid said, well, I don't feel normal anymore unless I'm stoned. And I said, that's a bad place to be. That means you're an addict. You're addicted. And he just didn't care. He was completely and totally indifferent to the end. Of course, he was stoned when he was at my house. He probably didn't remember the conversation. And I feel so bad for the mother. And the mother's already put him into one treatment protocol. He was in it for like 8 months, pulled him out, brought him back home again. Same exact program, same exact. He's back exactly where he was. And it's a difficult place with teenagers. Now, I'm telling you guys some of my personal stuff right now, some of the people that I try to help locally, because why is that? Because I want to be the guy that tells you guys, hey, look, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The Bible says train them up in the way they should go, and when they're older, not to depart from it. It doesn't say that they're not going to have a few backward steps and go do things, a few things stupid. There's a reason the Bible put the prodigal son story into the New Testament. I mean, there's a reason that we have that teaching. You know, we have to let kids do what kids are going to do, and then they've got to choose what they're going to do. Because if you try to micromanage a child all the days of their life, including when they become an adult, you're going to never have that child to the point where they can start making their own decisions. I saw that with some friends of mine that I knew in high school. They were a set of brothers. They went to law school together. And the mother micromanaged every decision. And basically never let them make decisions. I mean, I remember one time the kid was like 18 or 19 years old. And we were friends from high school. And we went up to the mountains to go hiking for like a week during spring break. We're in college, like 18, 19 years old. And I asked him, I said, you guys want to run up there with us? And mommy said no. Mommy said, you guys can't go. And they didn't go because mommy was, you know, dictating what couldn't be done. And then when the kid got to be in his 30s, he still couldn't make decisions because it had been made for him his whole life. And then he went out and got drunk one night and basically had somebody else in the car with him and had an accident. And the guy in the front seat died. And the kid basically ended up going to prison for 3 years. Lost his law license, became a convicted felon. I mean, horrible ending to a really weird story. But, guys, children, if they're going to make mistakes, they need to make the mistakes before they're 18. Okay? And I know that sounds crazy, but because once they turn 18, the law changes and all of it starts coming down on top of their heads. And then it's not one of those things, well, this record was sealed because he was under the age of 18 anymore. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, this is an adult. We're trying this person as an adult. We can have adult charges, adult consequences with this. Be really careful with kids. And if you find yourself in a situation where you simply don't know what to do, you know, you can pray, you can seek guidance through your church, and maybe your church has a facility where you can send your child for a bit. But usually a program like that lasts 18 to 36 months. And, you know, it just is what it is. And so you got to give the kids enough time for their brains to develop enough in a situation where they're being given constant Bible every single day and teaching constantly all the time in order for them to start making the changes. And hopefully you got to get them away from their friends where they're getting the drugs from. You got to get them away from their friends where they're going out and they're having sex with their kids or their friends when they're 14 or 15 years old and this unprotected sex, and or they're choosing very bad friends to hang out with. You got to get to a point where you're willing to make decisions on these children's lives, whether it's positive or not. You got to think of the consequences, because I can tell you this, like Jim Rohn said, if you see a garden of weeds and you start telling everybody you got a beautiful garden, you say it long enough, they're going to come pick you up in those little short bus and put you in a little padded cell because you got a bunch of mess over there and you're not seeing it. But that doesn't mean that garden of weeds can't become a beautiful garden. You go in and pull the weeds out, you can hoe it out, you can till it out, you do what you need to do, put beautiful flowers in it, but it takes time. But to call a garden of weeds a beautiful garden, it's kind of self-delusional, to be honest with you guys. You got to work on what you're doing. It's like I've told you guys before, if you're wondering if God's blessing you and you're not being blessed, you might need to check your credit report. Oops, I said it again. I know you guys don't like it when I say that, but that's just the truth. I mean, if you've gone out and got a bunch of credit from a bunch of different people and you didn't pay the bills and you got a real low Beacon score, there's a reason the bank doesn't want to loan you any money. There's a reason that the bank's going to say no. And there's a reason that you're having to go to your friends to try to borrow money because the bank's saying no. And that's what I always say to my friends, you know, when they come to me and they say, can we borrow $100 or $200 or whatever? My response is always, go to the bank. Use your credit card. Get a cash advance. Then it's always, I've already gone to the bank. I can't do it. My credit cards are overdrafted. They've canceled my credit cards. I owe them. My next phase is bankruptcy. And my response is always then, okay, then you need to go ahead and file bankruptcy. Because there's no reason to basically be in a situation where when you're given the opportunity through our Constitution to file bankruptcy, which is a biblical law, by the way, from the Old Testament, there's a reason you should be able to have a discharge of debt so you don't go into what's called indentured servitude. Because there's a point in time where every penny that you're making can go to pay old bills in which you can never dig yourself out. There is that point of no return, guys. And a lot of times it's because you've gone through a divorce or a business failure or a marriage failure or a sickness or a disease or whatever. And so it's one of those deals that that's why we have that ability in the Constitution to do that. So I'm not an opponent of that. I think if that's necessary, that's something people need to do. By the way, a new study just came out, just to get off that topic. Aspirin has no benefit and may actually increase cancer mortality, the New England Journal of Medicine finds. I have told you guys this for years and years. All it does is make you bleed out in your intestines. All it does can make you start losing blood. It will not reduce your risk of heart attack. It will not reduce your risk of stroke. It doesn't do anything besides make you bleed out. And it will thin some of your blood, and it can also cause wet macular degeneration. But even the blood thinning has shown now that it doesn't work and that the people have other side effects. In fact, this article says if aspirin is so dangerous and so ineffective, you know, why are people being given this product? And that's a good question. I think it has to do a lot, Austin, again, with people being given information that's incorrect by pharmaceutical giants like Bayer, who owns Monsanto, the world's most evil corporation. Monsanto is now part of Bayer. Why would you think that Bayer would tell you the truth about anything if they were willing to have their whole reputation and their name intertwined with the world's most evil corporation? So, quite frankly, if you want gastric problems, use vitamin E. If you don't want gastric problems for vitamin E, I got to say this correctly. I would say if you want gastric problems, use aspirin. And wet macular degeneration, use aspirin, which is a big no-no. If you don't want to have these problems and you still want to have a blood thinning and thinning result to make your heart and blood flow more easily and your heart work better, use 1,600 IUs of vitamin E every single day, along with about 100 milligrams of zinc every day if you're a guy, along with your HGH stimulate, and you'll be amazed at what you do as far as blood flow. And then if you still have a little issue with it, you could throw some of the vascular relaxant in there, the magnesium brain food, and some cod liver oil omega-3s. I did a whole show, Austin and I did, on the Hagman & Hagman report on Friday night this past week for 3 hours, and we went into detail on the journals and what they said about nutrition and what supplements to take and not to take. If you guys have missed that show, you need to hear that one. That was a great show. Austin, any other comments you want to make on the stuff that I was talking about, the bankruptcy and all that kind of stuff, or on aspirin? And what do you think?
Well, yeah, on the one aspect, as far as with the medications, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, granted, if you have to take them for a specific injury or something for a short period of time, you know, ibuprofen, Advil, aspirin, whatever, I mean, you may have to use it for a couple-day period. But taking a drug like that every single day, you really got to question, why are you taking it? As Dad said, if you're taking it because you're trying to have it as a natural blood thinner, there's way healthier things like the mixed tocopherol super potent E that we have that not just only acts as a natural blood thinner, it acts significantly well as a cardiovascular protectant, and it increases HDL levels as far as in your cholesterol. So there's many health benefits to it. Aspirin and those drugs, in my opinion, they should always be used as like a last-ditch effort. Like, you really need this right now for a couple days because you have X going on. You have this injury, you have that injury, and you need to take care of it. But, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you have Bayer, you know, with Monsanto, they're coupled now. And you have drugs like, you know, aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen. If you can convince the American population to not only use those drugs for the rest of their life, not only do you have a lifelong customer that's going to psychologically think they're dependent on those drugs to stay healthy and to have natural, healthy blood pressure, they're probably going to have higher increases of diseases, as you just referred to with that article. And so that, again, just increases the sales of other pharmaceutical drugs that they more than likely control, as Bayer is a giant in the pharmaceutical industry, right along Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline. So, I mean, all these guys are intertwined. They all have different hands in the pot. And they all like making billions upon billions of dollars of people being sick. It's a simple fact. That's what they make their money off of. The pharmaceutical companies do not make any money if people stay incredibly healthy and don't need pharmaceutical drugs. There's no argument there. That's what they base their entire model on sales, is people staying sick and using their drugs on lifelong dependency. That's the whole factor behind it. So if you understand that, isn't it easier to try to go the other route and try to keep your health as high as possible and stay off these drugs and not get wrapped up into the medical complex? Because too many people go into the doctor for very minor issues, and because of a lack of knowledge, because of an arrogance, whatever reason with the doctors, instead of talking to them about health, nutrition, diet, exercise. They simply pull their pad out, write a script, tell them to go get on it, and then basically come back and talk to me in 60 days and see what happens with the medication. And in most cases, they have no idea if it's going to make any difference whatsoever. And that's, I've literally listened to that conversation by hundreds of different people over and over and over again. So it's just, it's one of those things. If you have the option, take the natural route first and see if you can work it over. Also, too, in other news, with the more fake meat than ever before now, a new study by the Good Food Institute, which is basically the institute that represents the plant-based food industry, found that sales of substitutes for animal products has now exceeded $3.7 billion in the United States. They said while the total U.S. retail food sales grew only 2% over the last 12 months, the retail sales of plant-based foods grew 17% during the same time period. Now, the one aspect of this, some aspects of it I'm okay with when you look at the fact of, you know, organic almond milk or things of that sort. The problem is these are not based, a lot of these numbers. A lot of these are on the soy burgers, the tofu burgers, all the fake meat that is basically being put out there, and that's what it is. It's fake meat. It's a plant-based, almost synthetic-based meat that they add a bunch of fillers and preservatives to. And the biggest issue that I have with this, not only are we looking at the fact that 99% of these foods are made out of soybeans, you're dealing with the phytoestrogen compounds in them that mimic real estrogen that can cause all types of health issues and in men and women. That's just with soy on its own. Roughly about 90% of soybeans in the United States now are genetically modified, meaning they are hosed down with glyphosate, which Roundup, on a regular basis. So this is the issue you're running into. And then a lot of people say, well, I've seen non-GMO soybeans. Yes, non-GMO soybeans do exist in the United States. They are a very, very, very small subsection of United States soybean growth. However, they do exist. But again, you have to factor into that next rate. What are you really getting? Is this stuff still getting excess spray? Where is it being grown? Is it having any exposure to glyphosate, even though it's still certified organic? And on top of that, you're still dealing with the estrogen effects of soybean. This is a problem that I don't think a lot of people address, but this is starting to get higher and higher and higher and higher in the last 2 years now. They said over the last year, just plant-based meat increased on its own by 23%, up from 6% over the last year. So we're seeing this. They're projecting now by 2022-2023 that the global meat alternatives is going to be roughly a $6 to $7 billion business. Just the alternative meat, which is essentially plant-based or lab-grown meat. And this ties us back into that aspect of the New World Order with the globalist elite wanting to make sure that the food pop, the food production that is fed to the general masses is essentially as toxic and as sick and has low nutrient density as physically possible. That is why Monsanto continues to do what it does. That is why nobody has been able to do much of anything except just recently in California where the man was awarded, I think, what, $240 million in the judgment, which I really, really hope sets a precedent now for new lawsuits against Monsanto, because this is one of the huge, huge problems that we're going to see over the next 5 to 10 years, in my opinion, with the food being totally and completely compromised by genetic engineering and by the CRISPR-9 gene editing, all types of different factors, and the aspect of glyphosate toxicity, Dad. So the fact that these plant-based, soy-based, fake meat-based things are starting to go up in sales means that more people are starting to buy into this lie that the globalists are trying to promote, which is definitely not a good thing.
Well, it's the lie. You're right. The Bible says, Jesus said, you know, light has come to the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. I mean, they're always going to prefer the lie because it's the media. It's the very thing I read at the beginning of the show, how the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Zionist regime, synagogue of Satan, controls the media. They don't want you to be healthy. Why would they possibly want you to be healthy? They don't want you to know what's going on. They want us to have an EMT or a blackout, I mean, or whatever with the sun. I mean, we've got all these things now with this one satellite observatory out west basically has been shut down. All kinds of crazy conspiracy theories have popped up around that stuff. I mean, it was why they closed it down, because the government simply refused to tell us why it was basically boarded up and roped off and cordoned off, and all the houses that were around it had people living in them who worked at the observatory were basically forced out of their homes. I mean, there's something going on with that. Some people are saying that they've seen spaceships, all kinds of things in the sun that was coming this way or whatever. I don't know. I believe in ETs. I believe in extraterrestrials. We call them angels. I don't know what they travel in. Who in the world knows what's going on out there? We're like a bunch of ostriches, Austin, except this time they dug a hole and shoved our head in it and buried us in concrete. They don't want us to see, you know, what's going on out there, and they keep lying to us since 1947 when that mess happened with Roswell. I mean, I talked to the late Dr. Chuck Missler years ago. I was having lunch with him here in Lakeland, and it was when Lynn Breidenbach and I had lunch with him at Lakeland, and he was speaking at a conference at Southeastern University. And I remember I asked him, I said, well, tell me about UFOs. He goes, they're real. And I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, tell me about angels. How do angels get around? And he goes, I don't know. He says, they could be in the UFO. And I said, why does an angel need a spaceship? And he goes, why do you think you can tell them how to get around? You can't tell an angel how they're supposed to transgress or transverse the universe or the solar system. It's just they have technology also. And I'm like, all right, that's really something I've not thought about, because, you know, we always see pictures in the Old Testament, you know, pictures with Rembrandt and all these different great artists of the, you know, 16, 17, 1800s, in which we have angels flopping around with wings floating out into space, but we don't really realize what they're traveling in. And then, of course, we have that alien program that's always on the History Channel. It's always talking about ancient aliens. And it's just it's one of those things. I was able to wrap my head around that pretty easily when I went, well, let's call them ancient, you know, angels instead of ancient aliens, and what they do and where they come from. Because, quite frankly, God did not have to clear with you or me or any of us, Austin, as to whether he would have made another species somewhere else in the universe. That wasn't something that we had to get. He didn't have to get okay from us, and he certainly didn't have to go into detail about who they were and where they're from, though he did pretty good with the different angels and how he talks about them in the Old and the New Testament. So don't act like, you know, you're getting blindsided by this knowledge, because the Bible's already talked about it. By the way, Congressman Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat, she's right, by the way. She has now called out Trump for betraying the American people over Syria. U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat from Hawaii, an Iraqi war veteran, gave a speech accusing Donald Trump and Vice President Pence of betraying the American people by protecting 20 to 40,000 al-Qaeda and other jihadists in Syria while threatening Russia, Syria, and Iran with military force if they dare attack these. How should I say this? I'm just going to make it real simple. How about we just call them the Mossad terrorists? Gabbard gave her a speech while hundreds of U.S. troops were engaged in a live-fire military drill in Syria with the Pentagon-backed Magawir al-Tawar group. The Marines trained with the Syrian rebels ahead of the expected invasion of Idlib, and the rebel commanders said that the exercise was intended to send a message to Russia and Iran that the Americans and rebels intend to illegally stay and occupy a foreign country against the wishes of their leader, their duly elected leader, and the people of that country. And she is absolutely right for calling out Trump, because Trump said he wasn't going to do this. He said he's going to pull his troops out of, you know, out of Syria. Suddenly they have a fake attack over there. Also, we're all back in again. And some websites are now also saying that they've already seen the fake filming of the gas attack again to justify more military intervention in Syria. Hopefully this information has been put out there soon enough and fast enough and far enough that everybody's going to know it's fake before it's even released. But she's absolutely right about what she's saying. One more story, and back to Austin. Socialist Alexandra I'm done. I'm tired. Okay, guys, I'm tired of alternative media people calling people socialists. Okay? Communist-loving, Fidel Castro-loving, Marx-loving, Stalin-loving, radical communism takeover of the world-loving, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez fails to explain how she'll pay for the $40 trillion in free benefits while she is running for the candidacy in New York as a communist. She has a degree in economics, but she failed to explain how Medicare for All would ultimately save Americans money, as she claims. Studies have shown the programs will cost $40 trillion over the next decades. Other free benefits that she supports includes $5.4 trillion on guaranteed jobs, $1.4 trillion on guaranteed student loans, $1.3 trillion on free college, paid family leave and Social Security expansion. The leftist CNN host, communist Jake Trapper, was stymied by her explanation and closed the issue by saying that he will have her back to discuss how the programs will be financed. Guys, it's easy for these guys to say, I want free everything for everybody. It doesn't matter how it's paid for until somebody has to come up with the money to pay for it. I wish everybody in the country could drive a Lamborghini or a Ferrari if they wanted one. But the stupid cars cost $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $600,000. How are we going to pay for that? I mean, it's nonsense.
Damn.
Yeah, I love looking at Ferraris going down the highway. I very rarely ever see them, and there's a reason for that. They're expensive, okay? I've never owned one, and a lot of, you know, and most people are never going to own one. So I like it when I can see a Lamborghini, Murcielago, or the new ones coming down the road, or the Ferraris coming down the roads, and they stop traffic because they're so rare. I mean, one time, Austin, I was driving down the interstate highway, this was a few years ago, and I saw a B-17 from World War II fly over the interstate at about 50 feet and circle in the sky, fly back over the interstate. People all over the highway were stopping in the medians, on the road shoulders, just to watch the B-17 land over at Fantasy of Flight, which is right down the street from us, because it was such a rare occurrence. The same thing is true. These things that are rare, like these expensive programs that can't be paid for, they're not practical because no one has the ability just to conjure up the cash. Well, I guess these Luciferians can, since they see money as an energy field. I guess they could probably try to do it. They're a bunch of sickos anyhow, this Babylonian money magic stuff, 40-to-1 reserve ratio without derivatives. I guess they could conjure it up, but then somebody else has got to pay it off in the end. So, guys, this lady's a nut. And, again, she's backed by George Soros, hardcore communist. And I hope the people in New York have enough sense and they don't put her in office. What do you think, son?
She is. I've listened to her talk a couple times. She's a blithering idiot, to say the least. And when you make statements like that and you want to, it sounds great. Don't get me wrong. It sounds great. Free health care, free internet, free college, free student loans, free cars, free housing. I'm like, well, that just sounds awesome. I mean, why work? If you give me free everything, honestly, I don't really want to work. If you give me free Lambo and a free house and a free plane and a free cell phone and free property and free... What are you going to work for? There's no reason to work at all. But the problem is, Dan just said, who pays for it all? That's a concept that the globalists, and not the globalists, the communists, never seem to understand when they have these illusions of grandeur that they're going to come up with and say, we're going to put this $40 trillion package together. It'll be fantastic. Everybody will get free everything. And all of a sudden, the bill gets on the table, and they go, well, I'm not paying for that. Who's paying for this? Somebody needs to pay for this. Somebody in the restaurant, you guys need to pay for this. I'm not paying for it. Somebody, anybody going to pay for this? Everybody goes, no, you idiot. I'm not the one who put that together. How about you pay for it? You figure out how to pay for it. And this is exactly what these guys are doing. Now, the problem is this younger generation is really gravitated towards this lazy mentality, this lazy ideology that they really believe that the government can give them everything they want without having to work for it. And it's like I told Dad earlier, some people, they either have it or they don't. When it comes to the aggression and the tenacity and the drive to want to be successful, some people, they can live in a small house with a little TV and they're completely content with life, and there is nothing wrong with that whatsoever as long as they work for what they have. I don't care what people want to do. If people want to live in a 30,000 square foot mansion on the hill in Beverly Hills and have a private jet, I'm okay with that too, as long as they work for what they have and they're not expecting people to give them free stuff to get to where they are. I really don't care. So, but this is the issue that everybody has now in this younger generation. They want the mansion on the hill with the private jet on Beverly Hills, but they don't want to pay for it. They want somebody to hand it to them, not knowing that it costs $500,000 a year in property taxes, and it's going to cost $20,000 a month in overhead expenses and landscape and water and electric and everything else to keep the building afloat, and it's going to take another $50,000 to $100,000 a year to maintain the roof and the flooring and the cleaning and the updating and all the cleaning throughout the house on a regular basis. They don't know what any of this stuff costs because they literally expect people to hand them stuff for free. I have seen so many ministries that through dads, so a lot of stuff I've worked with, I don't talk about it either. Dad's talked about this too before, so I don't bring names up into it, where these guys that are in the ministry get stuff given to them. They get handed free stuff. Free churches. Just locally, we had a church that basically was given to another church. It was donated. Like a $1 million facility donated to another church for free. Donated. Here you go. Here's the deed. Has to stay with your ministry. It's for free. They had it operating for 6 months, and the whole thing literally fell through the floor because they had such poor management and poor money operating skills. They literally went broke with a free facility. They spent over $1 million updating stuff that didn't need to be updated, painting things that didn't need to be painted, buying a sprinkler system that didn't even go in and sat outside for 6 months in the grass. Personally looked at it myself and touched the brass fittings on it, and literally had to shut the church back down when it was given to them for free. That is the aspect of real world socialism. When people give you stuff for free and you expect it, and then when it comes time to pay the piper and you actually have to start footing the bill and repairing and taking care of stuff, and you have to figure out how to actually raise that revenue to keep the building operational and not dilapidated and falling down, a lot of people can't figure it out because it was given to them and they didn't have to work and grind and struggle and claw their way to the top to figure out how to make it work. They have no idea how to make it work, and that is why we're running into this idiotic communist mentality now where nothing gets paid for, everything's completely out of budget. And the thing is, and granted, you have to look at it from this younger generation. They see a government that's literally a $1 trillion deficit every year. $1 trillion deficit every year now because they can't keep their budget in spending. I mean, heck, we just gave the Department of Defense, what, another $60 billion a couple months ago? That's okay. That's cool. I mean, we want to build more bombs. I'm okay with that. I like F-35 fighter jets. I'm okay with that. Well, why are we borrowing money that we don't have, that we're not being able to pay back, if we can't actually keep solvent? If we can't pay for our bills, why are we borrowing more money? And that's what these kids are seeing now. They're seeing an out-of-control government that doesn't limit themselves with budgetary spending, completely goes into deficit spending every single year, and they think, oh, that's okay. We can just keep doing that. Let's just raise the deficit higher. How about we just go to a $10 trillion a year deficit and we just keep giving people more money, more money. And then when we run out of money, we'll just raise it to a $50 trillion a year deficit. And honestly, Dad, that's the mindset that a lot of these kids are understanding, not even realizing that we will be in a crippled infrastructure in the next 10 to 15 years, even at the current rate we're giving, not giving away that much free stuff.
Well, also, you got to realize, you know, we got 320 million people, you know, in the United States, and probably half of them are retired or whatever. So we got 160 million yeah. left, and probably another 100 million work for governments, state, local,
yeah.
federal governments. So, you know, we're only, you know, remember, these guys don't generate revenue except that they force you to pay taxes to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. They're not running businesses. They're not buying. They don't have cost of goods sold and overhead. They don't understand how any of it works. I mean, you know, when you own a company, you know, and you start your business, you know, nobody bothered to tell you that you get a trash bill that comes in every month, and a utility bill, and an insurance bill, and a postage bill, and all the other stuff comes in. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of money we got to pay. I remember years ago when you started working with me at Health Master, you said, I had no idea that overhead was this high. I said, yeah. See, and nobody does unless they own their own business. And you guys are amen at me now if you got your own business, as you know, because somebody's got to pay the workman's comp. Somebody's got to pay this batching Social Security. All of this stuff has to be paid. And people don't get that if they've never been trained to think that way, when they think that it's all just free, or let's just borrow the money for the student loans and let's just never pretend like we never have to pay back the $150,000 of student loans. This is what they've done. They've reduced us to that mentality of basically everything is free, and that's the socialist communist mindset. And, you know, now we got that strange, you know, Jim Carrey coming out and telling everybody that we just need to go ahead and embrace the communist, you know, ideal and basically allow this to come into our country. And see, this is the same thing when you see, like you mentioned earlier, with churches, Austin. I'm not going to mention any names, but I mean, the same church that we're talking about, Austin, it was given to them. What Austin honestly didn't mention was there was no mortgage on the church. It was free and clear. It was a fully functional, operational church that was fully capable of going to have the next service on Sunday morning with nothing being done on 15, 20 acres of property, paid for in cash, free and clear, donated to another church. And they still ran it in the ground. I mean, you don't you have an overhead because it's just unbelievable. But they spent $1.4 million in plant equipment and infrastructure and landscaping upgrades. Almost all the landscaping's dead. And you're like, and I saw them doing all this, and I kept going down there and saying, why are you guys doing this? Why are you doing this? Finally, they dug a ditch across the parking lot and installed the sprinkler system Austin talked about, 8 feet wide, 100 feet long, 800 square feet of ditch in the parking lot that was in the parking lot where you had to go from the church to the youth group for like a year, and we all had to walk through the mud every time we walked through the ditch. And finally, I said, why won't you guys fix this ditch? And they said, well, it's going to cost, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 to do it. I said, why wasn't this figured into the contract with the person who dug the ditch? Why weren't they responsible to fix the parking lot? Oh, we didn't think about that. I'm like, well, they wouldn't have dug an 8 foot wide ditch to bury a 1 inch pipe if they knew they had to fix it. They wouldn't have done that. They would have come in there with a trencher and they would have trenched across the asphalt and they'd have fixed a 4 inch hole, 4 inch wide trough. So anyhow, so I actually donated. I actually had a guy come in and we got it all fixed, concrete and everything, for like $800. I had somebody volunteer at the time, and I actually went out there on one of my days off and helped them pour the concrete and do it right. You think, did you really? Yeah, I really did that, guys, because I couldn't take walking through the mud anymore on Sunday morning. You see, this is the problem that we have, Austin, is that constant socialist mindset. Don't worry, somebody will give us stuff. And the same thing, I've talked about it before. I don't have a bit of problems with a pastor being blessed and living in a nice house, you know, having a nice, you know, residence, you know, being able to travel and go on vacation with their family. But there gets to a point when they own 18 mansions that are valued at $3 and $4 million apiece, and they have a fleet of jets, and their corporations are worth billions and billions of dollars, and it's all in 501(c) corporations, and they have $1 billion of extra cash laying around they don't put into other ministries. They'll pay off to their buildings, etc. There gets to be a point of being excessive. And that's way past excessive as far as I'm concerned. And that's the problem that I have with a lot of the people out there running stuff. I mean, they find loopholes, and then you get a lot of charlatans who get on Christian TV and who basically are good speakers, and they like to manipulate people. And I've seen a bunch of them, and I could give you a list of them. And that's why I always say to you guys, support your local church. And if your local church starts having bad problems with cash flow management and they're putting the wrong people in charge, go to a board meeting and bring it up and say something about it and say, maybe we need to change this person out or get somebody else who can handle the money a little bit better. That's very important, by the way. Or put some business guys in those positions who know how to run their own businesses. Let them run it the right way. That's very important that you do with local churches so they don't squander the money they're being given and basically don't have the money to pay the utilities and the power gets turned off while you're sitting there on a Sunday morning and it's 90 degrees outside. Let me see. It's so important that we all work together as a team. That's what the Bible says. Either we're all part of the body of Christ, the head, the foot, the hands, the arms. All of this stuff has to work together to make things operate as far as the body of Christ. And that's what we have to all remember is, guys, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a specific purpose to bring as many other people as we can to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's what we're here for. All the other stuff, whatever. You know, if you get a nice house out of the deal and God's good to you, whatever, I'm happy, that's great, God's good. But our primary goal should always be to serve God, to obey His commandments. That's the sole duty of man, and to come to a knowing Savior, Jesus Christ. And see, and that's so very important that people understand that, because often they get caught up in the spectacle of things, in the fancy house or the fancy car or the fancy whatever they've got, and all of a sudden, it's none of us paid for. And we saw this happen to millions and millions of people back in 2008. And all of a sudden, one domino drops and that whole little plastic world of finance crushes down around them. And they're like, wow, how'd that happen? Guys, put the kingdom of God first and all these things shall be given unto you. That's how I look at it, Austin. What's your next story?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. Well, this one's pretty crazy. And I saw the article earlier over in Clay County, Florida, which is right not too far from us. A woman says an armed teen confronted her in Walmart with a knife, demanded sex, and then ran out of the store after a customer with a concealed carry license intervened. The Clay County Sheriff's Officer quickly captured the teen and confirmed the details, including the fact that the teen did threaten the woman with a knife while making explicit demands. Alice Mutton said that she goes, tonight I was threatened with a knife in Walmart in Fleming Island. She goes, I am convinced that I would have been stabbed had it not been for the divine timing of another customer walking by who just happened to have a concealed carry license. She apparently was getting dog food, and she said her arms were full, and she was basically trying to get a cart, and a teenager about 16, 17 years old walked up to her and asked her basically how old she was. and she didn't respond back to him, and he basically asked her again how old she was, so she finally answered him, and he apparently wanted to verify that she was an adult. He then pulled out a big blade out of his pocket and then basically demanded that she have sex with him or else he was going to stab her to death. And so the confrontation lasted about 20 to 30 seconds, and apparently a man walked beside the aisle, and she flagged him down and basically told him what was going on for a split second. He pulled up his shirt and basically brandished his firearm and basically told the kid he was about to get himself shot. The kid turned around, ran out the store, and the police caught him about 10 minutes later going down the street with the knife, and they got him on video as far as his Walmart anyways as well. But golly, I mean, is this really, again, we're talking about this whole communist mentality, is this really where we're starting to go now, where, I mean, we're running around pulling out knives, threatening people to demand they have sex with us, or we're going to stab them? I mean, how perverted do you have to get? And on top of that, how entitled do you have to be? I mean, to that level of you demanding something from somebody simply because you want it by force with a knife. And again, thank goodness we had a bystander that walked by and a concealed carry handgun. That's why you always got to be aware of what's going on, not just for your own safety. That's habitual. You always have to make sure you're walking out for your own safety, but for other people's safety. Some people may be in a situation and they're trying to flag you down, or they're trying to get your attention while still being discreet, and you need to be aware of that, because again, this guy's holding a blade. That's a forcible felony with a deadly weapon. You have every right in the state of Florida to defend yourself and that woman from a forcible felony if he decided to get wild with that knife. And make sure you check your state laws if you are carrying a firearm. But down here in Florida, he was completely legitimate in what he did. But I just kind of want to address that, because hundreds of thousands of crimes are thwarted every year by legal concealed carriers in the United States, and rarely few of them ever make news because it wasn't a mass shooting that the news could exploit that.
I read the same story. You know, the thing about it is that just a few years ago, had he basically brandished that weapon and not discharged it or whatever, he could have been locked up for doing that. I'm so glad they changed that law. Yeah. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. You guys are the best. You guys are the best. I just, like I told you guys earlier, I had a chance to pray for you again this morning. I try to pray for you every single day. And thanks for being our friends. Thanks for being here and listening to us. Thanks for our little fireside chats we have with you guys every day. It's just to know, it's just wonderful to know that you guys are real, and that you support us and you listen to us. And thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It means a lot. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, close it up. I'll do the write-up. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And guys, I hope you really enjoyed the show on Friday. We really had a bunch of different articles. We even ran it with no commercials, if you guys noticed. 3 hours straight of our show, which was a blast. But no commercials, no breaks, just me and Ted back and forth the entire show. So it was an absolute blast of a time. Be sure, if you guys want anything on sale right now, we got a couple big specials, including the magnesium brain food, which is on sale for over 20% off right now. I put a really big purchase order in on inventory for that, because I've been having such a high demand. This is actually one of the highest demand products I currently have right now. So I tried to get a lot in inventory to get some of my costs down on this magnesium threonate. And so it's on sale right now for over 20% off. The Body Balance Himla is still on sale. That's going to be ending tonight for the Body Balance Himla 40% off sale. And of course, the Attention Factor is the product of the week. So be sure to vote for the other products we have on the front page of the website, the products of the week. It looks like the Liver Support's winning right now. So be sure, put in your vote, let your voice be heard. We appreciate your support. Thank you for your feedback. You guys have an awesome, safe, amazing night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.